Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, Paul cried out, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" In this 15th chapter of Corinthians, Paul has several things to say about death. First of all, he declares that death came by man. When God created our bodies, they were perfect. The body was so designed by God as to replicate itself fully, completely, without any breakdown, reproducing itself. The cells reproducing themselves over and over, the body could have gone on living forever. God warned man that there was a tree in the garden of which he should not eat. God said, "In the day that you eat of that tree, you will begin to die." Man, in disobedience to God, ate of that tree. It is quite possible that there was some chemical in the fruit that caused the beginning of the breakdown of the immune system of man, so that no longer was the body able to fight off completely the various viruses and diseases that existed. The cells began to break down, mutations. The aging process set in, and man began to die. So that by man, death came. Adam ate. There was an immediate spiritual death and the beginning of those processes that would lead to physical death. Paul tells us in Romans that by one man, sin entered the world and death by sin, so that death passed unto all men, for all sinned. And God has declared that the wages of sin, the consequences of sin, is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The second thing that Paul declares concerning death is that it is an enemy to man. In verse 26, Paul declares, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Anyone who has lost a loved one knows what an enemy death is. It brings sorrow and pain. Pain that at times is almost unbearable. In verse 56, Paul declares to us that the sting of death is sin. Death stings, but that sting of death is sin. The first time I was ever stung by a bee is shortly after I think I learned to walk, but I still remember it. I was walking across our clover lawn, barefooted, when I stepped on a bee. And he laid one on me. And I can remember the pain even yet. Running, screaming to my mother in pain. And she pulled the stinger out of my foot. And then just to sort of help placate me, I think, she said, "Now if we mix up some mud and put the mud on there, it'll make it feel better." I don't know if it made it feel better, but it was fun making the mud and putting it on my foot, you know. She said, by the time the mud dries, you know, the pain will be gone. Well, that's pretty wise, because the sting pain sort of, you know, reduces, and by the time mud can dry, you pretty much have forgotten about it. But I did develop a very healthy fear of bees. And whenever I would see a bee, I would begin to scream and try to stay clear. But as boys grow older, these childish fears begin to change. And one of our favorite summertime activities was taking these old cur jars and putting some holes in the lid and then going out. And when you see a bee on a flower and all, just catch it, you know, and get a jar full of bees. Later on, we learned that we could, when a bee was perched on a flower, we could grab the bee's wings. You want to make sure you get them both. But we could grab them by their wings, and then we would spit on our jeans. And if you hold the little hind end of the bee to the wet jeans, they'll sting it. And so we'd take their stingers out. And then we'd put the bees on our arms and let them crawl over our arms. Let them crawl on our faces. And it was so much fun to scare the little girls. And when they'd come around, you know, we'd put these bees on our faces, all of them crawl, and we acted like we were so brave and so tough. But we knew what they didn't know. The stingers were gone. We had removed the stingers, and thus we weren't afraid of the bees any longer. Now, the Bible tells us that the sting of death is sin. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus has taken away our sin. Thus, he has removed the stinger out of death. And thus, for the child of God, death is not something that is a terror, something that strikes fear in our hearts. But we can say, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Jesus Christ has removed the sting from death. He, through his death, paid the penalty for our sin, so that God, through Jesus Christ, grants to us the forgiveness of all our sins. God said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they may be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they may be as white as wool. Again, the scripture declares, for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. Sin and death are inseparable partners. They go together. Wherever you have sin, you have death. Wherever you have death, you have the reminder of sin. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. You see, Abraham believed in Jesus, as did the other patriarchs of the Old Testament. They, by faith, looked forward to God fulfilling his promise. When Abraham was asked of God on one dark desert night to go outside and look up at the stars And he saw that canopy of stars above his head. God said to Abraham that as the stars are innumerable, in the glory of them, so shall thy seed be, thy descendant. Referring, as Paul said, to Jesus Christ. And it said, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. He believed in Jesus. Now Jesus said, he who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Abraham was in Hades waiting for Jesus to die and to deliver him. The prophecy is that he would set at liberty those that were captive. And thus Abraham, waiting, though he were dead, yet when Jesus rose, he led the captives from their captivity. But Jesus went on to say, he who lives and believes in me, that is you and I, shall never die. Why? Because he has removed the sting of death. By my relationship to Adam, I sinned and I was dead. By my relationship to Jesus Christ, I have been made righteous and I have life. Thus Paul cried, O grave, where is thy victory? The grave is the place where the dead are placed. And man puts up a great fight to keep from going there. We exercise to keep fit. We eat the right kind of foods. We pay the doctors to keep us healthy. But sooner or later, no matter how hard you have fought, the grave ultimately triumphs over us. And the grave claims its victim as you are Lord in the ground. This was true until Jesus came and triumphed over the grave. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the grave was robbed of its victory. And thus, through the death of Jesus Christ for our sins, death has lost its sting. And through his resurrection, the grave has lost its victory. Paul the Apostle was standing one day before King Agrippa, defending the gospel. And he was declaring unto King Agrippa the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said to Agrippa, Agrippa, why should you consider it a thing incredible that God should raise the dead? A lot of people have a hard time with this idea of the resurrection of the dead. But he said, why should you think it a thing incredible that God should raise the dead? If God could create the universe, if God created life to begin with, if God took that bit of dust that he had formed into man and breathed into it and man became a living soul, then why should it seem incredible or something that is impossible to believe that God should raise the dead? After all, he has created all life forms. He is the originator of life. And surely raising man from the dead would be no problem for God. In this chapter, Paul shows that God has demonstrated the resurrection from the dead in nature. You who find it so difficult or incredible that God should raise the dead, just look at lower forms of life. Look at plant life. And Paul talked about putting a seed in the ground. And he said that seed doesn't come forth into new life until it first of all dies. We call it germination. The seed planted into the ground dies. But Paul said when it dies, then that new body comes forth, and the body that comes out of the ground isn't the body that you planted, because all you planted was a bare grain. By chance, wheat or some other grain. But God gives to it a body that pleases him. And so is the resurrection from the dead. In the low order form of life, plant life, if God has designed life out of death, then why should it seem something incredible that in the highest order of life that we can observe, God has also designed life out of death? A few months ago, an old ugly bulb was placed in the ground and covered with dirt, and that bulb died. When it died, it split in two. A little white shoot began to grow. When it hit the air, turned green. And today we look at these beautiful Easter lilies and we smell their fragrance. And we marvel at the design and at the beauty. And yet they are related to that ugly old bulb that died in the ground a few months ago. Life out of death. A new body, a new form. And that new form, that new body, is a quantum leap above the ugly old scaly bulb that died in the ground. For the child of God, Paul the Apostle said, we are sown in corruption, but we will be raised in incorruption. We are sown in weakness, we will be raised in power. We are sown as a natural body, we will be raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And even as we have borne the image of the earth and have been earthy, so shall we bear the image of the heavens. Paul declares that when God made this body, he made it out of the earth, and he made it for the earth, of the earth, earthy. The same 17 elements that make up the earth, the dirt outside, are the same 17 elements that are found in my body. When my spirit leaves my body will decompose and go back to those same basic elements, return to dust. For God said concerning the body of man, dust thou art, and to dust you shall return. And this old corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. And at that time, there will be that cry, O grave, where is thy victory? Jesus Christ, through his resurrection from the dead, has brought to us that certain hope of eternal life. So that death for the child of God is only a change of body. Though this body goes into the grave, my spirit moves into the new body that God has prepared for me. Paul calls it a building of God, not made with hands, that's eternal in the heavens. And he contrasts it to this body, which he calls a tent. Death for the child of God has lost its sting because Jesus has forgiven, has washed and cleansed from every sin. But we have now that victory over the grave. Paul the Apostle said, I'm in a position of mixed emotions. For I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And yet I know that it's necessary for your sake that I stick around a while. For to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And that's why he could say, oh, grave, where is your victory? It has no victory because the sting of death has been removed. That's what Easter is all about. Jesus removed the sting of death when he died on the cross. He removed the victory of the grave when he rose again the third day. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Our victory is in Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for that victory that we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, we rejoice in that which you have accomplished in your death, taking away our sins, and in your resurrection, giving us hope of eternal life. Father, I pray for those today who still live in the fear of death, still walking in sin, alienated from God, without hope, without God in this world. What a sad way to try to exist. Lord, may this be the day in which the truth of the gospel is made real to their hearts by your Holy Spirit. May this be the day that they surrender their lives to Jesus Christ, that he might remove their sins and give them hope of eternal life. In the name of Jesus, we ask it, Father. Amen. If you have not as yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, any day is an appropriate day. Any time is a perfect time. And thus today, right now, is an appropriate perfect time for you to make your decision to surrender your life to Jesus, to receive him as your Savior and as your Lord. You can go home from this place today absolutely free from any guilt of any sin that you may have ever committed. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. And thus you can go home today with absolutely no fear of death, because Jesus has taken the sting of death from your life by washing and cleansing you from your sin. I pray that you might know the victory in Jesus Christ over the grave, the power of his life in you. For if that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he's going to make alive your mortal body by his power within you. Paul said, therefore my spirit rejoices, my flesh also shall rest in hope, for God has shown to me the path of life. And God will lead you in that path of life if you'll just surrender yourself to him. God bless you. As you go forth today to declare the story to a dying world, a world that is living in darkness without hope, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He gave himself that we might live. He rose from the dead that the grave may be robbed of its victories. God bless you.